The Walt Disney World Resort has weathered Hurricane Ian. Also, the After Hours is coming back next year, as well as other news. This is Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 376. I am your host this week. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody?
Very good.
I'm here.
Yes, you are here. Just barely.
I sound normal, right?
I guess, yeah.
All is well.
It's like, do you want to sound good?
Yep. Everything's anyway. Good.
Yeah. And we also have the other esteemed co-host, and his name is Jason.
Happy 40th birthday to Epcot.
That's right. It'll be the 40th birthday by the time this podcast is aired. It will have come and gone.
Happy new fiscal year to Disney.
Yeah. Let's hope it's a good one. Without any fear. Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Without any price hikes. Oh.
Yeah. Well, as we're recording this, you know, Disney just got over Ian, the hurricane that hit.
Hurricane?
Yeah, the hurricane.
The hurricane
by the time we're recording it, we're still not entirely sure what the damage is, because it's still developing fresh. In some ways.
It's fresh.
Well, in some places, yes. I mean, Disney, though, I think the worst I've seen thus far at this point, and I don't really expect to hear anything much other than maybe trees down here and there. But there were a couple of panels on the Contemporary that appeared to have come loose or come off on the front.
It is an old building, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's been there quite a while, but it's also built well.
50 years old.
Yeah. I think pretty much everything on the Walt Disney World Resort is just about hurricane proof, it seems. I mean, they very rarely have any significant damage.
Well, they have their own power grid until they take Reedy Creek away, and then we'll have trouble, but otherwise... Well,
this is probably not happening, but...
It's the best spot to be in Central Florida if you want to weather a hurricane, I think.
It's a good spot for... I mean, I've always said that. I would stay there, I mean, obviously.
I'd rather be there in a hurricane than anywhere else in Florida, I would say.
Yeah. Ian did turn out to be a stronger storm than some originally had thought. He was just, about a couple of miles per hour short of a Category 5 when it made landfall.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And as I was mentioning earlier, you know, I'd seen Fort Myers got a really bad storm surge. I saw houses of theirs that were barely, just the roofs were the only thing showing.
Yeah.
And some of those houses, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty rough in that area.
Looks like, too, it's going to become a Category 1 again before it hits the South Carolina coast.
Yeah.
Of course,
well, it's going back out there, yeah.
Right, by the time this airs, it'll be already done with, most likely, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not Disney, but one of the theme parks in the area, because it was much closer to the eye wall, the areas that went through it, Legoland... is actually going to be closed an extra day. I don't know. I haven't seen the extent of why that is, other than I feel like they probably got hit harder than some of the other areas as far as they had theme parks in it. Hmm. I say they're not opening it because at the time we're recording this, they did not open on Friday. If they opened on Saturday, you will have already known that by the time you hear this podcast. So, you know, we hope everybody that I know in that particular region has checked in and has said that they're fine and that. My sister-in-law's parents actually live in Winter Haven, and so they were right there at one of the stronger parts of it.
Right.
They were fine other than still, I mean, they didn't have any power for a while and, you know, debris out in the yard, stuff like that. So nothing serious, so
yeah,
damage-wise.
I have an uncle that lives just outside of Tampa, and he didn't have power, but he had a generator, so he was good to go.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, when they look at these things and they think, well, why would you want to stay there? Why didn't you evacuate and everything? I was like, it really depends on where exactly you are. Like, obviously, if you're in an area like a Fort Myers, yeah, you should have left.
Right.
But that's just kind of, you kind of know based on where you are. That's what I'm trying to say.
And his house, like I said, my uncle, his house is built for a Category 5 storm. So he knew pretty well he would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you live in Florida. Yes, there's a hurricane pretty much every year. Or a tropical storm or something that's going to hit.
Part of it.
Right. Just about every year.
Yeah.
So
somewhere in Florida, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's kind of just peruse through a couple of news stories. This is something I actually either had forgotten or didn't know existed. I don't think it got a ton of press in general. And I don't know if either of you ever went there, but the Coca-Cola rooftop bar in Disney Springs no longer serving alcohol because their liquor license ended.
Right.
I never even been in that building, I don't think.
I've been in the shop at the bottom, but I've not been into the rooftop. Not one of the high places on our list of like lounges to go, but
well, I mean, I don't know. I never even knew it existed personally. But
yeah, I knew it was there, but not high on the list of places to go in Disney Springs.
Well, you wouldn't think about it, right? Coca-Cola.
Right.
Even though there's tons of things that people mix with Coca-Cola, but
right. Rum and Coke, for example.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was one story. You know, something I thought about, you know, Jason, when you were giving your trip report last week, one thing we didn't address, I don't think, because we did touch on your coaster ranking after riding them again. Mm-hmm. But we, not too long ago, when you were not on the show, when we had James and Emmeline on the show, Emmeline wanted to talk about a few things, and one of them was ranking parks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Jason, I don't know. Did you give your thoughts on, like, ranking parks currently? Like, what's your, like, if you had to place them one through four, right?
Yeah, what is your top
four? How would you rank them currently?
Number four is Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought, yeah.
Number three.
Tough choice.
Yeah, no, these three are tough.
Nomad Lounge has something to do with that.
Yeah. There's new factors at play. That's why I asked us.
Yeah. Probably still keep Animal Kingdom at number three.
It has to be, right? Because La Cava was so good last time that, yeah.
Yeah.
It has
and
to
Hollywood
be.
Hollywood Studios is two and Epcot number one.
I think.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. I get that.
So it really hasn't changed, it doesn't sound like, I don't think. Not really. I don't even know what you had last time or before.
Do really love Animal Kingdom. I think that we end up at Epcot and Hollywood, though, a lot more. There's something to be said about the Skyliner. Put the Animal Kingdom on the Skyliner. I can get a little bit higher.
Everybody has different reasons as to why they choose where, but
I still love the vibe at Hollywood Studios, I'm just saying. I love the vibe there.
What vibe is it again?
Like the old school Hollywood, it's still there if you hang around the Brown Derby Baseline Tap House area.
Okay,
so you can get
if you just don't go past the entrance level. Right.
Don't go to Galaxy's Edge or Toy Story Land or Sunset Boulevard. Well, actually, Sunset Boulevard has a good vibe.
True to its original.
Yeah.
Yes. Still.
So if you stick around the main area, you get a cool vibe, and I like hanging out in that vibe. I do love that vibe.
So less than half the park is still reminiscent of being
good
a
point.
Studio. However, no, that was my reasons for putting Hollywood Studios last is because it's a logistics nightmare, personally, I think, as far as too many e-ticket attractions in one spot, and it's a mess theming-wise. That was my reasons now.
I don't know. It's a good vibe, though. They're like, I think Jason would agree, right?
It's like, if you don't do any attractions, it's a great vibe.
No, but, like, your solo trip, you had a, like, hanging out at Baseline. You hung out in that area between, like, Brown Derby, the Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard, the area around Mickey and Minnie's. Like, that Echo Lake.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, What's the beef, John? What's the beef with Hollywood?
I already said what it was.
Too hard to get into all the e-ticket rides, I think.
Yeah, it's too crowded for the size it is, and they have all these popular attractions in one spot. Mm. And the theming is not consistent.
It has nothing to do. You can get it all done before 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Jason proved that. He proved that.
Yes, there's a way, no doubt.
I wasn't even going that fast.
Still.
And of course, Epcot is, I think, the favorite of everybody, isn't it? At least in this group, I think
my number one as well. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some reasons why I kind of don't like that it's number one. Number one being that it's half not done
at the moment. There's a lot of construction in it right now.
Good point.
Yeah. Do you think the barges made it through the hurricane?
I'm sure they did, unfortunately.
I think those things are indestructible.
They look it.
Speaking of Epcot, recently our friends at Parkeology had put up the Epcot plaque that's still there in place. That's one of the things that's still there. And the way they put it, Epcot is still there carrying forward the legacy of the original spirit of Epcot Center. Just looking at the front of the plaque, I actually made the comment on there. I said, I don't see the amendment for IP on there. There has to be one in existence, right? So, yeah.
Maybe during the 40th, Bob Chapek will rededicate Epcot to all IP, all things IP.
Well, so far I can tell totally that it's Epcot's birthday. I mean, there's so many things out there letting me know, right?
Well, speaking of, what was the big news about Figment? Wasn't there a big news about Figment?
About him potentially having his own movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Seth Rogen, apparently. Well, Seth Rogen Studios. He was confused that he was going to be in it. I don't.
Right. He could be Dreamfinder, though, wouldn't you? I could see him as Dreamfinder, for sure.
He might give the voice, too, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah.
You think they'll be able to land Eric Idle?
Duh. No, but...
Based on his interaction on Twitter, people bring up this character to him, and he, like, barely remembers doing it. Yeah. But, I mean, it was, like, 20 years ago when he did it, right? It was pretty obvious that was more of a job thing for him.
I wonder how much they paid him for that.
No telling. I mean, I'm sure people make a decent amount when they do these things.
A dollar. No, I'm just kidding. They probably paid more than that.
Disney quite frequently, though, likes to use people that they already have some sort of a deal or a contract with from other things to do these things.
ABC just, shows in particular.
Yeah. Well, so for instance, coincidentally, Patrick Warburton became the voice of Soarin', or the intro, you know, the intro for Soarin'.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, right around the time he was already contractually doing or had just done Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
So...
I do have a news story, if we want to pivot to it, that has to do with the celebrities in Disney, if you really want to hit that up.
Yeah, tell me.
We should go down the list of the Candlelight Processional list.
Yeah, lots of good ones.
Hit us with the list.
All right. November the 25th and 26th, we're going to get a new reader. We're going to get Simu Liu.
Simu Liu. Who is that? I'm not familiar.
He is Shang-Chi in The Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah, the new Marvel, right?
Yeah.
That might be why.
I've heard that's incredible.
He was also in Kim's Convenience. He's really good. I like him. I'm excited about him. Then we'll get Edward James Olmos.
Okay.
He's done it before.
Yep. Raul Esparza.
Okay.
Now, what's he played in?
Stage, screen, and voice actor. I don't know.
Actor makes sense. It probably has a...
I don't recognize most of this.
Well, I mean, some of it's probably availability.
Some Law and Order, some BoJack Horseman. Anyways.
Okay.
Then we get into Whoopi Goldberg.
Yep.
The traditional.
Right, she's always...
Isabella Rossellini. Damon John. I don't know him.
Hmm.
Oh, no.
Sounds familiar.
No, he's Shark Tank. Damon John.
Oh,
Fubu.
Yeah.
Shark Tank.
Okay, gotcha.
I like that.
That's an interesting choice, but okay.
I guess that I didn't put that together because I'm like...
Yeah, Shark Tank. ABC.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to think of like an actor, but yeah, no, it makes sense.
That'd be cool.
Starting on December 10th, we have Disney legend Josh Gad.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Is he going to do it in Olaf's voice?
I'm sure he'll go off script though, right? Josh Gad?
Maybe.
He's got to.
I mean, Olaf's voice is so different than his own anyway, so...
December 13th and 14th, we get Gloria Estefan.
Mm. Okay. Another good new voice. Yeah, I like that.
She gonna do it from the coaster from Cosmic Rewind?
Right. Yeah, because she does have a song on there.
A park.
December 15th through 18th, it would not be complete without Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
Yeah, a favorite.
That's the one I would pick.
Would you be drinking his margarita beforehand?
Yes.
Okay, you'd be good with that. Next, we have Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, some SVU, Law and Order, right?
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of Law and Order.
We're getting in towards close to Christmas. On December 21st to the 23rd, we get Cal Ripken Jr.
Wow. Okay.
That's a good interesting.
One. Then we do on Christmas Eve to the day after Christmas, we Marie Osmond.
Okay. So she's got the full Christmas run. Okay.
Okay. Then we go right after Christmas, Courtney Vance.
Wait, no, isn't he another Law and Order? Like back in the day, he did Law and
Order. Yes, I think so. Like I said, what's the connection here? Because it was not, that's an NBC product.
Right.
Okay. And then we finish with Angela Bassett.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. She's a returning.
Yep.
Regular.
Isn't there somebody who was a regular that's missing? Who was another one? I don't know Neil Patrick Harris, but I swear there's somebody else that's missing.
Can't think of his name, but Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, Pat Sajak?
Pat Sajak.
Yeah. Sajak. Okay. He used to always do it. He's not on this year. Pat Sajak.
Okay. It'd be nice if they had someone like Morgan Freeman. That would be good, right. Don't you think, that reading?
Yeah, a good voice, yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, never mind.
So if we end up going down, I think the Every Ride Challenge is like December 7th through the 10th. You would get Damon John and Josh Gad.
There you go. That's where the challenge should end, I guess. Well, I guess that wouldn't be very feasible, would it? But
well, this year, Josh Gad, it would be fun to see him.
Disney legend, Josh Gad.
Yeah, the newly... Yeah, his speech, though, at D23 was really good. I saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was almost as good as Joe Rohde's. Oh, wait. They still haven't made him the legend.
That's bad. That's bad. Joe Rohde.
Yep.
Why have they not made him a legend? Why?
And why have they not brought him back?
He probably hasn't accepted it. Don't they have to accept it, right? Kind of like a Hall of Fame thing?
I don't know. I mean, they give a Disney legend to anybody these days, so.
If he doesn't go for it, they're probably going to just do it, like, posthumously in sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Kind of like the WWE does.
I mean, out of the last 30 years, is there any other Imagineer that stands out more than Joe Rohde?
Have to think about it.
This century? Let's just say.
There's nobody more known, I guess. Right.
Like, you can say
at this point,
Tony Baxter, but that's like 20th century, you know, Tony Baxter. Well,
he's come and gone, actually. They brought him back in at times.
Right.
Isn't he technically retired?
Technically, although he's like a consultant on Tiana's Bayou Adventure, but.
Right.
But still, like, Joe Rohde, as far as like current or modern day, like, he's probably the most known of any Imagineer, former Imagineer.
I'm not saying it's not merited, but some of that's just, I mean, he gained the popularity that people just, yeah. I mean, I'm sure some of it had to do with his apparel, right? You know, yeah. That earring.
Unique. Yeah, he's very unique. He stands out.
Yeah. But so he stood out from the get-go.
For a reason. He's also probably the best Imagineer.
You don't have to sell me on him. He loves consistent theming, and so do I, so.
Right. And he's extremely detail-oriented, which
is
also another plus.
That was a characteristic of Walt.
Yeah. Like, no detail went unnoticed. Everything was considered. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
And all right, so let's move along a little bit, mm-hmm. Shall we?
Sure.
It appears to be confirmed, I don't know if you want to talk about this, that Disney's DuckTales World Showcase Adventure is going to debut later this year at Epcot, so there's not much time left this year, so I guess they're going to do it to help with potential Christmas crowds is the idea. Hmm. I don't know what they would do differently. I never really watched this version. I couldn't get over the fact that Huey, Dewey, and Louie didn't speak like their original selves.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Me either.
But yeah, they don't really have a whole lot of details on it. I know that the only one I think that I participated in just a little bit was the Agent P one with
yeah, I did too.
Phineas and Ferb, which I always enjoyed Phineas and Ferb anyway.
Right. Although, okay, DuckTales, I could get on board with this if it's done well.
If the game actually interacts with the surroundings in World Showcase once again, not just screens.
Yeah.
Because with Agent P's, you know, you had things like a smokestack that went off or something. And you know what I'm talking about? They had actual physical things going on.
Yeah.
Whereas the one in Magic Kingdom, for instance, was more screen-oriented.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it needs the right mix, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It depends on how it's implemented.
So, I haven't seen any more updates about any potential damage, right? I mean, it looks as though a lot of minimal flooding and stuff like that. Like I said,
if we're going to talk hurricane, though, if we're going to talk hurricane, I have something that I wanted to point out.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody here follows Chris in the Concierge Lounge or Chris Magic DCL on Twitter. Sure. This is a guy that goes and does a lot of Disney cruises, and he always does Concierge. And he got on board the Wish in the two-story room on, I think it set sail on the 26th of September. That would have been Monday. It's supposed to be a four-night cruise. Thanks to Hurricane Ian, it is now a six-night cruise. So they will not be returning until Sunday. And he's been tweeting they're going to get to go back to Castaway on Saturday. And he's in the nicest room on the whole ship.
Wow. That's nice.
So, yeah.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I never quite understood people being leery of sailing during hurricane season. I'm like, I feel like the worst case scenario is something like that. What, I'm going to get an extended cruise for free? Oh, the horror.
So what happens, though, if you book the three-night cruise after?
It's been canceled. It's been canceled.
So you just get your money back and you don't get anything.
I guess there's the risk there. But they'll probably get rescheduled is what they do.
Right. But you won't get an extended cruise. It's the luck of the draw.
Yeah. I know some friends of mine that are supposed to be going on the Fantasy leaving on Saturday. And I don't know what the status is of that one.
I haven't seen anything
Saturday
change. I think it's fine at this point. Yeah, I think it's fine at this point, especially where it sails.
But that means that it has to get back in from wherever it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, just as a side note, starting October 14th, no vaccinations required to get on a Disney cruise anymore.
That's interesting.
Oh, I missed that story. What date was that?
It's starting October 14th. No more vaccinations required.
Right. Yeah, I know Pete from the Diz was kind of confused by that one. That was very sudden for him. Yeah, I mean, it's quick, but I guess expected, right? I mean, at this point.
It's expected to get back to business as usual. Right. I think one of their reasons probably for doing this is they're having trouble filling cruises.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have just looked at my email, for instance, I mean,
right.
I'm getting advertisements or getting something about going on one of their cruises just about every day, it feels like.
Yeah.
And discounts. So most of them, I haven't seen any really, not too many, let's put it that way, for Port Canaveral. Mostly Miami and Galveston, which is probably because those are not as popular, you know, ports to go out of for a Disney ship, because most people are going to do the one that's closest to Disney itself, try to mix the two.
The Wish still seems to be way more expensive than if you go Dream or Fancy, but
right. The Wish, they were having trouble with the Wish, I think, still selling out the longer sailings at this point, which, maybe that has little to do with the price point.
Right.
It's not like we're, you know, potentially going to recede here very soon.
Yeah. The biggest complaint I've heard about the Wish is the layout is vastly different from the Dream and Fantasy, but I don't know. Obviously, I haven't been on the Wish yet, but...
Well, it looks different, but I mean, why is that a bad thing? The next ship is going to be a sister ship to the Wish. The Dream and Fantasy are sister ships to each other. They're not the same as the Wonder.
Right. Well, speaking of the Wonder, isn't the Wonder the one going to Australia next year?
I think that's right. Or is it not until the...
I think it's the end of next year.
The new ship again? It's escaping me.
Treasure?
Treasure, that's what it was, yes. Yeah. I thought it was not until the Treasure was done. Am I wrong?
I think it's the end of 2023, which I think the Treasure debuts in 2024, like early 2024. But
so roughly this around the same time.
Basically, yeah. But that's the one I'm excited about is, like, I would love to do the Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, any of those itineraries I would be excited about.
Well, but the more ships they get, the more they're going to move the other ones out and expand them into different areas, pretty much. They seem to, their MO seems to always be the newest ships go to Canaveral first.
Yeah, which makes sense. It's probably the most booked of all of them, right? The area. Right. Makes sense.
Which makes me think as soon as the Treasure is built, it's probably going to go to Canaveral and do the 7-night sailings, and the Fantasy will actually be moved somewhere else, maybe Miami. I don't know. Or didn't the Dream go to Miami after you guys got off of it?
Yeah. Literally, we were in the last one from Canaveral. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be their regular schedule, but they will mix it up occasionally, where it goes for other reasons. That's how it traditionally goes. But yeah.
Yeah, I love Canaveral, but I think I would be more excited personally to do the, Alaskan or, the Pacific side.
I would like to do the Alaskan one. That'd be, a bucket list item.
Right, yeah. Those would be itineraries I'd prefer over Caribbean, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you haven't technically done Caribbean, so you don't really know.
Right, but I've done enough Caribbean islands besides Disney cruises to go I would like to try, other areas versus Caribbean, but personally.
So earlier you mentioned Figment. He does have a 40th anniversary plush coming soon. They seems to be he seems to be like the one item from Epcot that they just force down our throats now. I guess people love it though.
Yeah, I think enough Diz Twitter got Disney's attention to say, okay, you guys love Figment, so we'll give you some Figment love.
They're like, if you love him so much, why aren't you riding his ride?
Right. We'll give you a meet and greet instead of redoing his ride in a better
way. We're almost to the time where they're going to put the holiday sweater on him, though, in the ride.
Yeah,
it's going to take us a whole year to make a meet and greet, though, but we'll give it to you.
I mean, hopefully they can do better than, I don't know, am I the only one that thinks that Hulk looks ridiculous? I'm just saying. Like the they spend all this time making a Hulk and it just looks ridiculous.
I don't know if it's worth it. Adam and I commented on it almost immediately that it reminded us of Baymax.
Right. They're spending all this time and money making these fancy character meet and greets, and I'm great. I guess there was a lot of work on the Mando Grogu one to make Grogu all very lifelike and stuff, but
here's the thing. The Hulk animatronic, I guess, is what he is. He almost feels like a Johnny Come Lately because Universal has had the Transformers, right? You've seen those figures that they have meet and greets with. And even the movements put the Hulk to shame. So, I mean, I don't quite get that is what I'm saying. It's like it's already been done better in this case, I think, by another company. I mean, they weren't the first to this one. Yeah. So,
don't we think, though, that Seth Rogen would make a great Dreamfinder? He's known for his marijuana use, so...
What does that have to do with Dreamfinder? Is that why he saw a purple figment of his imagination?
Right, I was about to say, you can find some really good dreams if you have Seth Rogen-like connections there.
He's like, he saw a purple dragon-like figure after some purple kush.
Right. Yeah, purple haze. That's all that is. Purple haze. Anyway.
You know, if that becomes legal, that Bob Chapek's all in on just branding that and putting it in the park. Right. So
you'll be able to buy Dreamfinder brand cannabis.
I was going to say, it's kind of like the Barbie doll figures have it. You know how they have Dreamhouse Barbie? It'd be like weed smoking Figment.
Yeah. Well, the Dreamfinder will help you find your dreams if you smoke his brand. Yeah.
Speaking of the shirts a minute ago, I don't know. Maybe I'm hard to please nowadays with this, but I don't like the shirt that he's wearing for that 40th thing anyway, the design.
Good point. I don't either. I saw it.
I've actually tried to look at the Epcot merch that they're doing. Some of the retro, I see that, because, like, yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It's modern. It's too modern, honestly.
Most of it, yeah.
The one that Figment's wearing is too modern.
Yeah.
It doesn't look retro.
I just don't have too many things that just grab me as far as the designs they've been doing. I don't know.
Okay, am I the only one out of the three of us? Like, are we like huge Figment fans here? Like, Figment's okay, but I'm not like...
Are you the only one that doesn't get it? What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't love Figment that much. He's okay, but...
He's been a staple as far as plushes for the whole time, the whole 40 years just about.
Well, to me, if it was Figment and Dreamfinder, then I would be more on board, but just Figment, like, okay. Or Purple Dinosaur. Barney is a Purple Dinosaur, you know.
I'm going to make some of the people watching this maybe a little upset, because I know Figment's popular.
Right.
Second worst ride. Second worst ride at Epcot.
So, yeah, but full disclosure, my son asked me the question, if there's any ride at Walt Disney World you could have replaced or closed, the first thing that came to my mind was Figment or Imagination.
Over the Nemo ride?
I don't know.
Yes. That was my second choice, by the way. Nemo. I said Figment and then Nemo.
It's tough when you say replaced, though. Like, what can I put there? Right. Because if so, I could see a number of things.
Yeah. That's what I would say.
Well, the better version of Figment already existed. It was called the original one.
Well, yeah, but as you said, because of building codes, they can't do the original.
Not again.
Right. So there you have it. But yes, Epcot had my top two of rides I would love to see.
And it's also your favorite park.
That's a good point, yeah.
What's your favorite park?
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, Epcot / Hollywood Studios, to be honest, yeah.
I was trying to think if there was, like, out of the whole property, if what attraction I would change.
Triceratops Spin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't say Primeval World because it's already gone.
So, do you want Triceratops Spin to be the Moana Spin?
I feel like we could just spitball here, just throw out ideas. Okay. Let's just think. What could we put up there? What could we do? What's the latest thing? How about Encanto? Let's throw Encanto in there. Why not? Encanto, right? That was popular.
You mean theme Triceratops?
No. It's gonna be the Lin-Manuel Miranda spin. You'll get up in a Lin-Manuel themed vehicle where you'll either get Hamilton or you're gonna get Encanto. You're gonna get one of his
In the Heights.
Yeah, in the Heights.
So, a Lin-Manuel themed vehicle.
Sure.
Okay. So, is it going to be sort of like Dumbo, but with his face?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of his famous.
Actually, it would be fitting for Josh Gad to be as well, if we're going to replace him with someone that's, you know, a modern Disney guy. How about they just take the spinner out altogether because they have too many as it is?
No, they need more spinners. Honestly, right. Epcot has zero spinners. They were supposed to have a Mary Poppins spinner.
It's not true. Mission Space is their spinner.
Well, that's a good point. Technically, it is a spinner. It's a really fast spinner. Good point.
They have the only adult spinner.
Adult only.
They have a spinner on a coaster.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't constantly spin, though. It just it turns side to side.
But it could be a spinner. Yeah. If it malfunctioned, it'd be a spinner.
That reminds me of that time when the Haunted Mansion malfunctioned and they made him go down and they had the people going down the hill face first. Remember that?
Nice.
Right.
Yeah. Where the new Hatbox Ghost will be. Yeah. Whenever that happens. When's that going to happen?
My Dolphins just got their first official loss.
Oh well. Would you bet Godolphin to start with the letter G?
Godolphin, no.
Oh, okay. But since we're talking about Animal Kingdom, let's just throw out there, Kite Tales had to end early because of Ian. I didn't get to make it after all. I didn't get to see
good
it.
Good point. This Ian messed that up for you, huh?
That far in advance, okay. Or it could be that nobody's watching Kite Tales.
I guess it's already over. I guess I might as well close. Over.
So what are they going to do with that area? That's another area they need to do something with, because they've already made this place where you have seating and everything.
They basically built a big amphitheater area. What can they do there on that lagoon?
Yeah, a big amphitheater in which they have nothing to go there.
Right. It's basically an area to wait on your family to come off of Everest. That's it.
I guess. It's not even shaded.
Not good.
They've struggled to find something to put there really badly.
There's nothing good to put there. Nothing.
It's gold. I don't know. It's probably just going to sit, unfortunately, for some time. Much like the area they're talking about retheming over there. It's probably going to sit for a minute. Yep. There was something else. I mentioned it earlier, didn't I? What did I...
While you're thinking about that, I'll add one more hurricane thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was watching some of the folks that were staying on property. And have you seen sort of what the, like, hurricane meal prices were in some of the resorts?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Like, why do they sell... Like, okay, so Adam the Woo, for example, ate at Chef Mickey's with no characters, but it was $20 for a buffet.
That's what it was at Boma as well. Boma buffet was $20.
The meal kits were like $7 for an adult for a meal kit. Like, okay, why all of a sudden do they have reasonable prices when there's a natural disaster?
Well, because there's nothing else people can do. They're trying to cut them some slack.
I bet they're still making a profit off of that.
Given that it was overpriced already, then just likely.
So, okay, it's like $60 or $55 or something like that regularly for Chef Mickey's. And $20 is what they charge just for the food. So, yikes. That's a big
hike. Well, at least they realized that they were, you know, they were taking something away, and so they didn't charge the exact same price.
But they charged a third of the price.
Well, you know, it is the Disney era. I mean, the Chapek era.
Yeah.
So that has something to do with it.
Right.
Okay, so what I was trying to get back to was we were talking about pricing, and if we remembered anything about pricing for the extra magic hours.
Oh,
event.
You mean the after hours
thing? The after hours event has an extra magic
starting
hours.
starting in January.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's coming back. And so the pricing, which I don't even remember.
Jason did this most recently, right? You did Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios. I did an
Animal Kingdom and a Hollywood Studios. Yep.
Yeah. I remember that. That was.
Well, do you remember the pricing by chance?
I do not. It was probably a while back. It was like probably $110-$120 somewhere around there.
So it's okay, close to the same price.
It's above. It's marked up, of course.
A little bit more, but not too much more.
Well, it says with prices ranging from $129 to $159 plus tax.
Right. I mean, it's hard to say. Is it worth it? It depends on your situation, right? If you wanted to make that your park day. You could get in at 7 p.m.
It's like, yeah, if you want to go and just buy after-hours events and not regular tickets, sure.
Right, but if you were buying day tickets, you could just buy that instead of a day ticket and just spend the day at the pool, show up at the park at 7, and then you would have less... You wouldn't have to buy Genie Plus. You could get on anything after that, so...
Yeah.
You know... Basically, you're trading a day ticket for buying a day ticket and Genie Plus, so it's kind of a win-win in that situation. You get to have a day at the resort or whatever else you want to do, and then show up at 7 p.m. and write a bunch of stuff in the last 3 or 4 hours of the day and do whatever you want.
And you get all the popcorn you want.
Right, popcorn and soda. That's all you load them up, man. And as I think James mentioned this, like he probably got like 6 or 7 waters on his way back to the resort.
Yes. So
load up on waters when you're leaving.
That was part of what he did. Yeah. I still don't think he used all the credits, but.
Yeah. But still, get a bunch of water, popcorn on the way out, you know, snacks, Mickey ice cream bars.
Or you could do like me and just not get it.
It's that too. But, I mean, it's a strategy. It all depends on how you want to do things. Do you want to stay up late? Do you have older kids that can stay up later? It's worth it. Let's trade out one of your park days for this.
I feel like it adds a level of stress because you're concerned with trying to use up all your points.
Points.
What do you mean points?
Oh, I was talking about the dining thing.
Oh,
when you said about the water.
No, but the water. No, the waters are free, so you just load up on waters.
Oh, he was loading up on waters to get his
right the credits
dining plan points.
His snack credits, yeah.
Yeah, his credits.
I'm just saying though.
That's why I said the points thing.
For an after hours though, you just get as many as you can get.
Right, because it's already included.
Included in the price.
Yeah, I guess you could do that. It's about like you and chicken tenders.
Now, if chicken tenders were included on the after hours price, I would be like...
You would go no matter what.
I'd be like, oh, it's totally worth it because I will eat 78 chicken tenders and take them all home with me.
What is the price that you would pay for a chicken tender after hours event? What is the right
what's
price
the max?
For that?
It would be less than $100 because it depends on what else you get besides the chicken tender.
Oh, come on now. Let's just say the current pricing.
Yeah.
And they say, we're going to throw in all you can eat chicken tenders.
I would do that, yeah. Because I would bring a backpack and I would bring Tupperware and I would load up on chicken tenders.
His backpack's going to have grease in it.
I would just have a backpack full of chicken tenders by the time I got home.
Okay. Yeah. They're not that good at chicken tenders.
No, they're not. They're grocery store.
I think part of the reason why you found them to be so good was because you didn't have to pay for them at the moment that you were eating them. That was probably some of the appeal.
Yeah, honestly, the best part of the cruise was just walking by and like, hey, I want some chicken tenders.
It's like, hey, yeah. I can just get this.
Because I could always eat something. And chicken tenders were the best option, honestly. The pizza was just okay. Everything else was like, the ice cream, the cones weren't great.
This is why you need to go on the Wish. I know that they have a bigger selection on that deck. You know?
I'll have to try the Wish, just to see.
Speaking of Wish, I've kind of looked at potentially... Maybe a 3-night one somewhere around the MLK holiday in January, possibly.
Yeah, next year.
So it's not booked, but it's not out of the realm of possibility, we'll say, to do that. So we shall see.
We haven't tried the Wish yet, but we will at some point, I'm sure, between the three of us.
I believe in us.
Yeah. I wish.
It's actually been, it's been...
Before COVID, right?
5 years now since I was on a cruise at all.
Wow. Yeah. But this will be your gold cruise, right?
Yeah, I know. We had tended on going one, and then COVID hit and canceled it. And then we rescheduled it for when we thought COVID might be, died down enough for the cruise, and that was coming up, and we had to just cancel it altogether. We decided to. It was like, well, we have no idea when this is going to change. At that point, so.
Speaking of upcoming trips, though, Jason will be there next week, right? So you'll give us the down low on the hurricane damage, if there's anything to report.
If there was any, it'll be gone by then.
Probably. Well, let's hope. I mean, this is the era of we don't care about maintenance, so we'll see how that goes.
We don't talk about maintenance. Yeah, no.
Pretty much. I mean, we don't do maintenance. We don't go there. So
or pay no attention to that building in the background.
Basically.
It's blue sky. That's not a building.
Right. Tron as well. Yeah.
Yes. Or pay no attention to the backside of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. Which you can totally see from World Drive when you're driving in. But don't worry about that. Those spires that are on poles.
Yeah, it looks pretty rough from...
World Drive, yeah.
It looks pretty rough from Riviera, like the top.
Yeah.
Because you can see the backside from there, if I'm not mistaken.
You can. You can see it from a lot of places, and it's like, okay, not great, but...
It's like, wait for it. It's the backside of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. The 10th wonder of the world? Is that what that is?
No, sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Surely we're up to a way higher number of wonders by now.
Yeah.
In general. What are the first 7 anyway? I don't even know.
I don't know. But I was talking about earlier how I would replace Figment in the Seas. My son, his ride to replace would be Small World. So it just shows you.
So he just goes straight to the heart of a Disney classic.
I know. And I was like, okay, Walt created this for the World's Fair
showcase.
And he was like, oh, well, I don't know. But yeah, he doesn't like Small World.
However, to which Harrison,
it was chimed his favorite.
In as, it was and at one time.
Now he's getting older, so
he's Small World's out the door too.
Yeah, it's losing its luster for him too.
Well, what's his favorite now? Any idea?
He says he likes Guardians. I don't know. It's a tough choice.
Well, see, whenever I ask Maddie, like, she hardly ever has, like, a favorite. She's usually, like, when I ask her about which coaster that she rode was her favorite, she's like, all of them.
Right.
I was like, well, okay.
Well, no, Aiden, my oldest, is Guardians is number one for sure, no matter what. Like, Guardians is it. He absolutely loves Guardians. So.
Guardians is his end all.
For now, yes.
Sounds like he's being influenced by you, if you ask me.
No, he's ridden it.
Maybe if we get him in a room by himself, we'll have to ask him. We'll have to do an interrogation, get him off to the side.
Well, he will search YouTube for the videos of these songs, like from the 80s and 70s. Yeah, he's all about the whole soundtrack to Guardians. So
we'll see if he follows in his father's footsteps when Tron opens. We'll just see.
I honestly think Tron will be great, but I still think Guardians will be better, to be honest.
No, sure, now because I said something.
No, I'm not kidding. I think Guardians has the better theming and just overall, like...
Better story, right, Jason?
Does it?
It is a fun coaster.
That's all he's going to say. He's like...
It's pure joy, like I said. It's pure joy.
Screw the story.
There's a story, but who cares? It's so much fun. You don't care. You're just loving it.
I enjoy the coaster. I'm just poking fun at you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I think we've gone long enough. We've gotten in a decent show this time, yeah. Right? I mean, unless we have anything else important that we need to mention.
I'm just going to read from a book now for the next hour and a half.
I'm just kidding. It's a book of what?
Read from a book. Yeah. Okay, what's the book?
It better be a Disney.
Bob Chapek's Memoirs.
Better be a Disney.
I didn't come prepared. So actually, let's just end the show.
I'm holding my Sin Cara stone, by the way. So Jason, by the way,
You just have one of them, though.
I have the one that counts, the one that glows. So I have the main one. They took the stones from here.
Everyone's supposed to glow if they all came together.
Well, okay. I have the main one. The one that Indy saved. That's the one I have.
The one he gave back to the village.
Basically, because the rest he didn't care about. So, obviously, I have the good one. But, yes, Jason, you're going to have to go back and get me the headpiece to the Staff of Ra and the Holy Grail, whichever one you can find. Or both.
No, just, you know, not a big task.
Yeah. Just find the Holy Grail for me and make sure you drink first so that I know that it's the true grail. And don't take it past the seal, the great seal, but bring it to me.
It's like, all I want you to do is go through these three challenges of lethal cunning.
Right. Yeah. So, the Word of God, the Breath of God, and the
Path of God.
Or the path.
I think it's
what's the. Anyway. What's the and point? The leap of faith? The leap from the lion's head? Anyway.
Oh, maybe that was what it was.
What was. Anyway. So, yeah. That's all you have to do. And then you have to fight that old knight. But, you know, he's like 300 years old. So don't worry about him.
And, of course, just remember that in the Latin alphabet, Jehovah begins with an I.
Yeah.
By all means.
Not J. I. Yeah. J. You'll fall right through. You'll be fine, though. I'm not worried about that. Just remember the penitent man kneels. He's humble. That's all you got to know.
See, when I think of Holy Grail, I'm going to bring, like, two ends of a coconut.
Right.
And I'm going to start studying up on swallow airspeed velocities and...
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Well, as long as you bring it back to me, I will pay you for whatever Disney charges it, minus the 30% discount.
Well, so, I mean... I get a 30% discount, but then there's the delivery fee, the finder's fee.
Ooh, well, yeah. I don't know about that. All right, well.
Oh, he's Chapek's rubbing off on him.
Yeah. Convenience fee. Yeah.
Finder's fee.
Actually, all that stuff just sounds like normal life at this point right now.
Right. Ouch.
All right, so.
Anyway.
I think we should just end this now. Mm. Let's end the show.
Yeah. Thanks for bearing with us to the bare end.
All right.
Yeah.
And bear around to see our bare ends. Oh. Okay. Isn't that how it goes? No?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, bear around to see us again. That's what it
was.
Yeah. All right. So I knew what it was. I was just, you know.
Yeah.
So you can find us on social media, of course. That is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM. Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. And we have a YouTube channel, which I personally have not updated in quite some time, but there are videos out there that you can watch, and they are good ones. Yeah. So go like, go subscribe. I sound like the typical, right? Just go check it out if you want to. Only if you want to. All right, and where else can they find us, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com, and you can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. If you want help planning your next Disney vacation, you can email our travel agent friend, Jill Dilbeck. Her email address is jilldilbeck@gmail.com.
So, for Adam and Jason, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. Which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out. That's the one thing I can't really do that great is just laugh.
That was pretty good.
That was just excellent. The last part.
Yeah, that was good, actually.